Adventure 5 Zoltan awoke the next morning to a strange sound. Looking down, there was the strange bum who had accosted him twice the night before. Kicking him, Zoltan got up and asked for the bum's name.
I am Thribin, the hood.
Yeah, you sure are rude.
No, I'm a hood. It is my species.
Oh. Zoltan had already decided that he wanted a larger gun, and deciding that he wouldn't be able to avoid the hood, grabbed him in a headlock and began dragging him behind him. Zoltan asked around and quickly located a nearby arms dealer. While Zoltan perused the available weapons, Thribin made an attempt to use the phone at the store.
Who are you calling?
Zoltan asked, a crazy glint in his eye.
I'm calling my boss. He's gonna want to know I found you.
No, you're not. With that, Zoltan snatched the receiver from Thribin's hand and slammed it down onto the base. He doesn't need to use the phone after all, he explained to the clerk.
She merely nodded.
Picking out a particularly large rifle, Zoltan approached the clerk and began questioning her about the price. He could definitely afford it, but would need it in order to buy it. It he sorely lacked seeing, as he had entered this planet via prison transport. The store clerk indicated he go over to the city hall to clear up his problem and then head back for the gun. Grasping Thribin in a headlock again, Zoltan dragged him back towards the park he had slept at, which was just across the street from the city hall. Entering, he quickly found the clerk who handled it matters, and entered into the line. After a small wait, he reached the head of line and applied for a new ID to be issued, using a fake name as to avoid detection. Finally, the clerk asked for his arrival papers when he arrived on planet.
Earth, I don't have any.
I arrived on a small transport in the wilderness for some hunting. Never expected to be going into the city. The clerk let out a long-suffering sigh and then, very well. Give me your boarding papers for the ship your transport disembarked from.
Okay, here you go.
These papers show your name as Zoltan, yet for your ID you have your name listed as Az.
Zanubanish Zismali?
Well, yes. That's my real name. Zoltan is just a nickname my friends gave me. They paid for my flight, so that is why my boarding papers have that name.
I see.
I will just give you your ID under the name Zoltan. His attempt to get a fake defeated, Zoltan grabbed his hood and exited with his new ID. Outside, walking towards him was Milo and Orendel. Stopping to talk to his newly found friends, Zoltan quickly related what had happened to him. Milo filled Zoltan in on the planned meeting in the park he had spent the night in. While all of this was happening, Sid, Alejandra and Banrak were walking towards the park as well. Suddenly, a group of three halflings stepped out from the crowd.
Your money or your life, muttered the leader of the halflings.
How about instead you turn around and walk away and I let you live, replied Sid in a cold voice.
What?
Haven't you heard of the Red Salamander gang?
The Red Salamander?
Sid asked, suddenly cautious. The halflings began talking about their escape from the prison and Sid quickly nodded that they had too. The halfling quickly gave them some directions to the Red Salamander tavern and then faded into the crowd. Perplexed by the encounter but with little time to wait, Sid and company continued on to the prearranged meeting with Milo and Orendel. Zoltan told Milo and Orendel that he was going to buy a blaster rifle and that he would be in the park in a few minutes. Zoltan entered the store and submitting his newly obtained ID, obtained his brand new blaster rifle, and happily left, his hood in tow. Heading back, long barrel sticking out over his shoulder, Zoltan joined the gathering of friends, as they quickly gave somewhat modified accounts of their last day, due in part to the hood listening in.
Can't you do something with him?
Milo asked.
Nah.
He'll just find me again. Suddenly, the group noticed a large number of police officers heading towards them. The party scattered in all directions, Sid zooming up with a fly spell, while the others took off on foot. Banrak stood still, but in that glaring suit she was wearing, no one took her for an escaped prisoner. Everyone quickly lost the officers through one means or another, and Milo found himself alone in a bad portion of town. He began to resume a normal pace when suddenly, he found himself accosted by three halflings.
Your money or your life?
Milo had left his pistol hidden in his room, and didn't want to be associated with these three anyway, so he quickly set off running. One of the halflings' shots clipped his shoulder, but he shrugged off the pain and kept running. Finally getting into a safe position, Milo activated the walkie-talkies the party had obtained at the prison, or bought, since then. Calling out over the bandwidth they had all agreed on, he quickly ascertained that everyone had escaped safely. Agreeing to meet at a bar nearby his hotel, Milo put his walkie-talkie away and started heading back north. Banrak, lacking any communication gear, went back to the hotel she shared with Sid and Alejandra. Everyone else managed to make it to the bar without incident. Zoltan arrived, Thribin still in tow.
Is there any way you can get rid of him?
Milo asked Zoltan. With the hood there, nothing overly important could be discussed, yet Zoltan feared letting him go because of his boss. In Elven, the party began discussing what they could possibly do with the hood. Hopefully, he didn't speak Elven and any plans would remain unknown. Killing him was suggested, but no one much cared for the idea. Moral issues aside, no one was in any hurry for a trip back to prison, and moreover, the hood had taken a blaster shot to the foot without too much reaction. The possibility that the hood couldn't be killed was suggested more than once.
Another idea mentioned was to let this hood pull his bus. If he was the one sending all these people after us, let's see what he wants. While all this discussion was going on, Zoltan came to a decision. Releasing the hood, Thribin immediately stood up and went to the bar, asking after the phone. The intensity of the conversation suddenly tripled, as Zoltan likewise stood and snatched the phone from Thribin's hand. Thribin began protesting and the barkeep stopped wiping off a glass, as he walked over. Thribin had obviously already dialed his boss's number, because the phone was already ringing, when Zoltan grabbed it. Hanging up, he dialed a random number and began to stall, calling out in Elven to hurry up with the plan. The group had nothing, and eventually Thribin managed to get the phone back and to dial his boss again. Zoltan snatched the phone away at the last second and found himself talking to someone with a very deep voice. Zoltan had plenty of questions and Thribin kept trying to get the phone back. The mysterious man on the other side had few answers, however. Finally, the mystery man simply said, "I will send a car for you." And as he said that, a black limousine pulled up in front of the bar. Two ogres got out and Thribin began gesturing for the group to get up and leave. The party briefly entertained ideas of fighting their way free, but changed their minds and decided to go along this time. Entering the car, the party was surprised to find Pancras seated already. Driving through town, the party got out, when the limo slowed, and then stopped, outside of the Red Salamander Tavern. This time, as everyone entered, Zoltan had no trouble getting in. The group was led into the back, where they entered a small elevator and began a long ride down. The ride went by in almost absolute silence, as no one knew quite what to expect. The only thing they all knew was that someone had wanted to find them bad. And that, whoever it was, he had found them. Arriving at the bottom floor, the party cautiously began moving out with Thribin and Pancras following close behind them. Behind a massive table, seated within a massive chair, sat a person who could only be the storm giant from the prison. "Ah. You are finally here. A group of my followers were supposed to meet in this bar and come back to rescue me. But in the middle of the break, I found my cell opened. I'm told I have you to thank for that." The storm giant quickly explained some of the background of the prison. For a while now, the Drow police force created by Mezzanbone had been kidnapping people to conduct scientific experiments on them at Prison Afix and likely other penal colonies. In fact, it was just such an experiment that allowed for the original prison break at Afix, a fact the party had already stumbled over. More sinister, perhaps, is that every prisoner wrongfully accused had reported seeing the same man moments before being arrested. Always there was a drunken Drow nearby, who was invariably arrested as well as the innocent party, and who never stay long within the prison. It was Sergil's, the storm giant, belief that the Drow was somehow connected to the atrocities being committed for the Iced. And indeed, in retrospect, the party had been arrested in company with a drunken Drow. Apparently the Iced was focusing on colonists heading for Dentra. Colonists rarely had much in the way of possessions, and few people missed them. As an incentive, they had likewise made travel to Dentra completely free. Everything suddenly clicked into place, and the party found them all possessed of righteous anger. Zoltan found himself looking at his ticket to Dentra, as someone would look at a snake they had found within their bed. Since the group had never officially arrived on planet, Sergil wished to use the party as an investigative squad. They had more freedom than any other prisoner and their lack of it made them all but untrustable. Ideally they could help him track down the Drow and end the Iced's evil plot. This suited the group well, at least most of them. I obtained it today in order to buy this gun, Zoltan admitted. Well, that was a bad idea. We can work around it though. The three halflings were in no way associated with Sergil, although he was aware of them. They had been giving the bar a bad name, not to mention attracting unwanted attention. If the party wanted to take care of them, Sergil wouldn't mind. Sergil told the party he would contact them if something came up and everyone left on friendly terms. Back outside, the party discussed the new developments. If what Sergil had told them was true, Zoltan obviously couldn't leave, and neither could anyone else who had been planning it. Pancras had to be warned of the danger, but at the same time she could not be allowed to stay with the group. Her name on the record of prisoners was damning, and the fact was, the group couldn't afford to be associated with her. Leaving, the group found another hotel near the local airport. Alejandra went back to Pancras and explained some of what was going on, entrusting her with enough money to pay for the rooms for a few more days, and perhaps get her started. Once that was taken care of, the fate of the three halflings became the main focus of the party. Twice they had accosted members of the group, and they had even shot Milo. They were attracting attention to a hidden group of prisoners, and if they were caught, the party was likely to be found out as well. They could not be allowed to live. A quick ambush was arranged, with Milo acting as bait. Walking about innocently, Milo waited for the halflings to accost him, and it was not long before they did. Setting off at a run towards the prearranged location, the halflings immediately gave chase. Coming within sight of the small cemetery that the ambush was set at, Milo dove behind one of the graves, as the three halflings opened fire. Zoltan and Orendel stepped out from behind mausoleums, opening fire at the same time. Between the two of them, the number of halflings in the trap was reduced from 3 to 1. Alejandra and Milo finished off the last one with a total lack of injuries on the group side. The three halflings were searched, what little they had pocketed, and their bodies left to be found a few days later. The party had gotten organized and armed. Their enemies better beware.